It is time for Breaking Chains with the P31 Ladies Night, where we will have open dialogue with our women on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Good evening, good evening. I would like to say good evening. God bless you. You are listening tonight to Breaking Chains with P31 Ladies Night. I am Reverend Katrina Kennedy, and I have a guest on the line tonight, a very special guest, my pastor, my comrade, my mentor, my brother in Christ, Reverend Roderick Williams. And we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, this evening, oh God, this evening, with a bowed down head and an humble heart, thanking you, Lord God, for the many blessings in which you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, oh Heavenly Father, for just allowing a few of your handmade servants to come out tonight, to be willing vessels, to be able to share the word, spread the word according to what thus said the Lord. Well, God, I pray that we are not here for any shape, form, or fashion, but that we're here all about edifying you. Because we know, oh God, that it's all about you and none of us. And we pray, oh God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart is acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord. You're my strength and my redeemer. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and thank God. Tonight is a very special night because anytime I can get on the line and share my thoughts, my wisdom, my training, my image, my life with others, that's what I would like to do. And tonight, I would like to talk about integrity and wondering what does integrity look like. Amazingly, when we think about integrity, the first thing that comes to mind is the way a person conveys themselves. For instance, a person who has the reputation of being on time and for an event or on time for whatever the circumstance may be, to go to a meeting, to go to work, to go to the store. You know, if you make a promise to someone that you're going to be on time to pick them up at a certain place or meet them at a certain place in a certain time, the first thing that that person does is have an expectation of you doing, standing by your word. But interestingly, the first time that you're not on time or you don't stand on your word or you don't abide by your word, you get the integrity of being late, unreliable, not dependable. But what does integrity look like in every area of your life? Integrity stands for who you are. It represents you as a person. It can be that you have the integrity of writing a certain way and taking care of a certain document, saying that you're going to get it done at a certain time. And people rely on you. But when you fail to do what you said you were going to do, then your name, it's not that you turn into a bad person, but then you get the integrity of someone else or something else or being different than what you said you're going to be. But I am really glad to know that with God, we have a second chance. We have a second chance on taking care of that integrity, because really and truly, when you start to talk to people and you get this reputation of being whatever it is that's negative based on what you have tried to portray, it's hard to gain that back. And a friend of mine has said to me, when you don't do something that you say you're going to do, for instance, if you tell me, this is what she says, if you tell me that you're going to be somewhere at 3 o'clock and you get there at 3:30, not only are you saying that the meeting was important to you, but you're also saying that my time was not important. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't really want that kind of, you know, reputation of thinking that I'm wasting someone else's time. So we have to really be mindful when it comes to integrity. Reverend Williams, would you like to chime in with me on this particular topic tonight? Reverend Williams?
Yes, yes, I'm here now. Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Good. God bless everyone, and thank you for turning us on tonight. This is the P31 Ladies Night, and yeah, there's a deeper voice on the air tonight. Yes. it's something that you're talking about. What you're talking about tonight, you're talking about integrity. And when you told me that was going to be your topic tonight, I wanted to get the full scope of the worldly view of integrity and then what the scriptures talk about integrity. Integrity, based on the dictionary, it says that it is the qualifications of being honest and having strong moral principles, more uprightness. It is generally a personal choice to hold oneself to consistent morale and ethical standards. It's like being honest, truthful, and accuracy of one's actions. So one thing about it is that when you talk about integrity, I was born in the late 60s, so we had morale, we had integrity, we had character, we had things that were taught to us by our parents, things that were instilled to us by our grandparents. And the unfortunate, here's the unfortunate to integrity today. People don't take integrity serious. People don't take morale serious. The ethical standards of integrity are not taken seriously in the world today. Things that are supposed to be wrong are considered right. Things that are right are considered wrong. So you have an integrity today, you are looked at as somebody that thinks that they are bougie, think that they are better than someone else, think that they are above someone else, and that's not even close to what integrity is all about. And if you are a believer in Christ and you believe in God's word, when you look at integrity in scripture, let's even look at Psalms 41, 11 through 13. It says, "By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." So integrity in God's eyes is very important, regardless of what the world says. It says integrity is a word that is not used much in today's English. That's sad to even know that. One definition of integrity is the quality or state of being a sound moral principle of rightness, honesty, and sincerity. So we can say that a good synonym for integrity is maybe what? Honesty. So
honesty,
how many of us are truly honest in everything that we are striving to do in our daily lives? So, yeah, integrity is a very important topic that you're discussing, and it's very important in our lives today, yesterday, and forevermore. Integrity is very important.
Would you say that from a spiritual standpoint, integrity plays a major part with leadership? And not even just a spiritual standpoint, it can also be from a secular standpoint. But would you say that integrity is one of the major characteristics or the main traits that one should have in order to be an effective leader?
It is a main trait that one should have in being an effective leader. Is it a main trait that they have today in being an important leader? No. A lot of integrity has been thrown out of the window. We can look at from the White House to the city government to county government. We can look at church leaders, pastors, bishops, apostles, church clerks, treasurers, head of the deacon board, head of the treasury board, trustee board, whatever your office is in the church, on the job. Everybody knows that when I come on, I'm going to be this straightforward, radical person to answer the question. Let me just answer your question before I go on. It is important. Is it there? It's not there in a lot of areas of life today. It's like it's been thrown out of the window. We can look at the television and see that there's no integrity. People feed us what they think that we want to hear. And let's talk about us as a people. We as a people should have we should make our integrity be very important in how these people handle us. See, if you don't have integrity and I have integrity, I should be able to speak up and speak out about what you are not displaying as a qualification in being in your position that you're in. That should be a very important qualification to even be in that position, about your integrity. Your integrity talks and shows what your character is all about.
Interesting. That's really interesting, because I was reading an article a few days ago about the integrity, and it was in the Huff Post, and it says that as we consider the broader topic of spirituality and transformative leadership, they're saying, the writer is saying, I felt it only apt to start with defining the core concept of integrity, which is about the fullness of self and requires a spiritual and transformative journey. So with that being, can one start, you know, interestingly, when I said earlier that your integrity is your being, who you are, who you represent. And as soon as you go that one fine line, whether it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, and not do what you say you're going to do, that defines who you are as a person. So how can we get back on the right track? What transformation, what transformative journey should one go on in order to realign themselves as far as the integrity goes? Is there a way of doing
that? Yes, there is a way of doing that. The one of the most important and important factors in doing that is that we need to look at the life of Christ. We have to study the life of Christ. We have to understand what it is, the journey that Christ took on, and the life that he lived, and the things that he had to do in order to understand what integrity is all about. See the thing about it is that, guess what? When you study the word, listen, you can go to the book of Proverbs and read the entire book of Proverbs and study that book and study and show yourself approved, but study to learn, not to just read it, but study it and learn it and let it marinate in your spirit, and you will understand about what it was about to have integrity. Even listen, here's one I'm going to give you right now, and then I'm going to go on in that answer. In Proverbs 2, verse 6 through 8, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." So in order for these people that have wavered from their integrity, whether they sit in a public office or church office, school office, whatever it is, whatever your position is, one thing that you have to learn to understand is whether or not you're going to be pleasing in God's eyes, or you want to be pleasing in man's eyes. If you're going to constantly chase after being pleasing to man, your integrity will diminish away from you. You will find yourself with no integrity, because one thing about it is that you will try to please man and you find yourself not being upright. You can't be upright pleasing man and not pleasing God. The scripture tells that you can't serve two gods. That's impossible. You can't be trying to be pleasing in God's eyes and pleasing in man's eyes at the same time. It's not going to work. You're going to confuse yourself in that. Okay, so how can they get back to it? for number one is that we have to do what we call a soul-searching experience for ourselves. We have to take a look at ourselves. We have to take a look at the man in the mirror, for number one. We have to then learn to hold ourselves accountable for the things that we lack thereof. And if we lack it, how do we get it? I just found out that, listen, I wasn't always this upright man. I wasn't always this man that had this high class of integrity, okay? I had it, but you know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know how to nurture it. I didn't know how to make it work in my life to be better for other people as well. But then all of a sudden there was an experience that you have to go through when the Lord comes in your life and he has to whip you, break you down, and reform you and transform you into his image. That's not an easy task. That's like a tree being pruned. You know, one thing about a tree, you prune a tree to get it ready for the next season. When you clip the limbs and clip everything off of it, that tree can't say, ouch, ooh, that hurts, it cry, it can't do none of that. But when God prunes us, we feel all that pain. We say, ouch, we cry, we ooh, we ah, we know that, Lord, stop, we feel all that. But see, one thing about it is if you go through the pruning process, once you go through the pruning process, you're able to come back in growth of beautification of what God wants you to be, which is like him. That's why I say be Christ-like. See, Christ took on a lot of things on earth that had everything to do with his integrity, because he was honest. He was straightforward. He was upright. He was righteous. And he went through everything that we can only imagine. God felt everything that we felt. Why? Because he came here in the human flesh of Jesus. Okay, Jesus was his name, but what was his title? The Christ, the Son of God. Those are titles. So what takes place is that your integrity has to be based and built around who your God is. I don't know what God you serve, but the God I serve is a true and living God. You know what I'm saying? So we have to understand what the integrity of God was all about. God had integrity when he created us. Look at the integrity in God when he created us. And you say, how do those two tie together? Because guess what? He created man upright, righteous, after his own likeness, in his own image. Don't you think that's integrity?
Image, that's right.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it is.
That's integrity.
Yes, it is.
Because, you know, and men and women that are in high positions can get back to their integrity. It's about just being able to turn away from the evil wickedness and walking in the path of sinners and following after money and the love of money. See, all of that plays into a part, you know. And Reverend Kennedy, one thing about it, what I don't want to do on this Proverbs 31 Ladies Night is to go on and on because this is about educating and teaching our ladies in areas where they are lost or where they are in dark ramifications of their lives. We are to bring them to the light. So sometimes, I probably needed to come on your show here and spread
and
some
I
love
thank God
because
for
it's
you.
All. Just bring this love. But you know what, y'all? We have to surround ourselves with people with high morale and high integrity. People that are willing to have integrity, people that have integrity, because one thing about it, the old saying is birds of a feather, they flock together. If you're flocking around with people that ain't got no integrity, your integrity is going to diminish in your life because you find yourself being swamped by that negativity and that darkness that they have and that they share.
I thank you, Reverend Williams. I really do. It does not matter that you are a male voice coming on the line. We welcome you tonight. But I do want to take the time to acknowledge that we do have other callers on the line, and I'm not quite sure who they are, but I want to give them an opportunity to speak if they would like. But before they do, I have a little something that I want to talk about when we talk about integrity, just a little nugget that I want to throw in there based on what you've said tonight, Reverend Williams. Integrity is defined by some synonyms, and I was looking at those synonyms, and I wanted to share it with others. You've already spoke on honesty, faithfulness in addition to honesty, sincerity, and innocence. It says that it means having a free mind of dishonesty and deception. And you said something that just really just kind of made me go there about this, wanted to go to about this dishonesty and this deception, because you said about the birds of a feather flock together, and it just it did something to me, because every time I heard that illustration or that little analogy about birds of a feather flock together, it was always when someone around me was doing something that was either deceptive or dishonest. And I was one of those that would say, oh, well, you know, I want to try to, you know, be their friend because, you know, everybody else is looking down on them. And I would hear that, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Now, it's not to say that you are doing it, but it says that if you're hanging with that person, you could be easily included in that deceptive realm. And I thought, wow, you know, it's amazing that it's now coming back to me the way you brought that phrase in or that analogy in. And I'm just like, yeah, I remember that. But it was always based on something else or someone else being dishonest or deceptive when I would hear those, that little analogy. And I find it very interesting that tonight that we're talking about integrity. And if we can right now just take a moment to acknowledge some of the callers that are on the line, to give them the opportunity to say something if they would like. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Okay, I guess we – oh, hey. How are you?
Hey. Good evening. I'm well. This is Kulani.
Hey, Kulani. It's good to hear have you tonight.
Yes, I'm listening in tonight.
Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome. How about anyone else that would like to say anything before we take a little break? And then we'll join everyone back in just a few minutes. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, but I wanted to say this. You are listening to blogtalkradio.com. You can listen in live if you would like with Young Adult Talk Radio, or feel free to call in, area code 858-357-9137. We're going to take a little break, and I want to play this song that is really dear to me, and I hope it helps someone else right now, but it's called Encourage Yourself by Donald Lawrence. And we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Good evening. Thank you so much for listening. It is a beautiful evening tonight because we're talking about integrity. And as I closed, I had a thought, Gritty, look like on you. And with that, I had to really do some self-reflecting. And it's amazing because, you know, in the sector of preaching, you know, you are not supposed to come out with a message if you are not affected by it, or if you come up with a message and it doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form, it tends to not be the most productive message. So I had to do some self-reflection when I thought about what does integrity look like on me. And I got to say, I said to myself, ouch, because I don't want people to look at me and say that my integrity is tarnished because I'm not a woman of my word. And we must be, we've got to be honest, balanced, a certain way, because our integrity impacts others. Not just our children, not just our family, but it impacts everyone who surrounds us. And if me working at a institution where I have younger students looking at me, if they see me on my job doing things that aren't quite right, that's dishonest, deceptive, or anything like that, now, yes, they should have common sense. But come on now, if you look at someone else doing something that's not right, it doesn't say that you think it's okay, but if you can get away with it, if you don't have integrity, then you're going to follow suit. What do you think about that, Reverend Williams?
Well, can you hear me?
I can.
Wow. Let's see. Ooh.
Woo-hoo.
Well, let me see. Ask me that question again. You might need to ask me that question again. I don't want to get a wrong answer.
What?
Ask me that question again.
Okay. What does integrity look like on you?
Woo-hoo. Okay, I thought that's what you asked me.
Self-reflection, self-reflection. Stay out and keep on moving and learn from it, grow from it, and do better. But
I will say that I will say that I have had to – I've had my ouch moments. I have. We will constantly have our ouch moments. They'll never stop, not on this side of heaven, because there will not be any perfection on this side of heaven. So you will always have those ouch moments. However, there comes a time – in a person's life, and let me take that back. There came a time in my life when the integrity had to be turned up a notch, or two, or three.
Mm.
Because remember, integrity is all about you being upright, honest, and just looking a certain way, and speaking a certain
mm-hmm.
way, acting a certain way, carrying yourself a certain way. So I can honestly say that integrity was garbage at one time. Because didn't care. So when you don't care about a lot of things, you're not going to have that integrity that is required of you, that is needed of you. But now in my life, being where I am in my life, I know that integrity is very important. There's no way that I can be a pastor of this ministry of Young Adults Talk or be an assistant, being a youth pastor at my church here in Mobile if I didn't have integrity. Sometimes my integrity, my honesty, and my uprightness is like a sharp knife. It can cut. But I think that in today's time and age, we all need to have that type of integrity that's going to be nurturing for others, not just for yourself, but for others. Because we have to learn to put ourselves out of the way to be able to help others. Jesus came into this world and he put his life on the line for all of us. That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we willing to put our life on the line for others to grow,
wow.
for others to be nurtured, for others to be fed, for others to be saved, for others to be brought into the kingdom of God? Are we willing to have that type of integrity at that level to be able to sacrifice self for others? I think that if once we get to that point, that when you do a self-reflection, that you are, that you seem to be able to then have a better feeling towards yourself. When you look in your, when you look in the mirror at yourself now, you have something to be proud of. You have something to be excited about. Because guess what? I know that I work at getting closer to Christ every day. But what about the ones that don't even know him? What about the ones that are
wow.
lost, that have met him and know him and have went backwards in the world? We have to remind them that what the scripture says, that God loves a backslider. But what if they
That's
don't
right.
know that? What about the people that don't know that? What about the people that don't even understand what integrity is all about? What about the people that even don't even understand that I need to be, I can, that I can be truthful and honest about what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through? Because once you learn to be truthful and honest about something, you're able to be then delivered from the situation that you are having problems with. I'm going to say a personal note on this. What, when I was out in the streets in the world, I put myself through AA, NA, and all the A's that they had to make sure that my life was cleansed and I didn't have to go through those areas again. But one of the main things that you had to learn in those programs is to at first acknowledge and accept and admit that, guess what? I got a problem.
That's right. That's right.
I got
That's
a problem.
That's right.
And I need help fixing this problem. So once you
do that.
I can't
do it by myself. Ooh.
You can't do it by yourself, whether you're in the physical realm, the spiritual realm of things. Because one thing about it now, whatever that you deal with that you continuously try to hide and keep from everybody else is not hidden from God, and it's definitely not hidden from the devil. Because you're hiding something, keeping it in the dark area. And remember, the devil lurks in dark areas. Amen. Mm.
Amen. Amen. That. Ooh. Anyone else before I jump in? Because I.
Let me. This is a good
okay.
point for me to. A moment for me to jump in.
Yes.
And I'm listening to this very good discussion. And I was having a hard time thinking about whether I wanted to jump in or not, because I think that this is a really, really, really big issue in our culture. It's
okay.
It's one of my soapboxes. Because when I think about having integrity, we talk about words like honesty and being principled. And I have to admit, and I'm saying this slowly, and I'm going to choose my words wisely. We all know, you know, we all have a relationship with Christ that when it comes to what the world looks like, God always starts with what his church looks like first, and then he goes to the world, not vice versa. The world is always the world. But I'm 37 years old. I've been in the church all my life, but I'll say I've been committed to Christ since I was 21. And it really, really pains me that I don't see integrity in the church. And I'm talking about and people that are supposed to be the guides in the church. And I've been to a lot of churches. And the one thing that I have come to realize is that a lot of us are born again, we're saved, but there is something that did not take place, and it just may be, you know, this whole idea of Christianity versus culture was culturally accepted, that area of integrity is not something that really gets transformed, addressed, or honed in the church. And it's become today very acceptable to have a lack of integrity. And not only serve in the church, but be in a leadership position. And I'm not just talking about pastors. There's other leadership positions in church. And I struggle with that. I'll say that. And I struggle with people who I know that are church people. They go to church, they serve, and you see them on your job in different places in the community, and they have no integrity. And I don't get that. It's a disconnect there. And I don't think this is a conversation that's had enough, and it's not had. Reverend Williams just said something about what's done in the dark. We don't like to talk, and we are okay with keeping secrets. And we can know something about people's character that needs to be addressed, but for some reason we don't like to address it, or we don't want to step on toes. Thing that happened to me when I, you know, started to walk with Christ is that I'm keenly aware that everything that I do in the dark, I do it unto God. Everything. There's nothing hidden. So even when I find myself doing the slightest thing that may question my integrity, when nobody knows, I check myself really fast, because I know the God that I'm praying to, talking to every day, that I'm trying to be in relationship, and I that has to be an open and honest relationship. So I verbally affirm it, you know, to myself. I check myself, and I keep moving. But it's a very, very difficult thing to really, really address this subject with people who you should be able to address it with, your friends or people you have relationships. Is one that people don't really want to talk about.
Wow. Reverend Kennedy, can I say some? Can I address that? Because that's good. I like that.
Please.
Ms. Kalani, it's good to hear you. It's good to hear you on the podcast tonight. Welcome, and thank you. I tell you what, here's something that you said that was pretty good, because Reverend Kennedy and I have this conversation a lot. Leadership actually is supposed to start at home, and when it lacks at home, the next place that's supposed to fill in the gap is the church. You're absolutely correct. The church is there. We are the church, and that's something that we're going to have to educate the people on too, because everybody's not aware of that. When people say the church, they really go to the building. And when God say he's preparing his church and coming back for his church, he sure ain't talking about a bunch of buildings being raised up, meeting him in the sky. He's talking about his people. So, you know, we have to educate the people on who's the church, what the church really means.
Yeah.
When the home lacks, it says that the saints are supposed to intercede on behalf of others, stand in the gap for others.
Mm-hmm.
And being a pastor, I find myself being making it easier for me to say certain things that the church is lacking in a lot of areas, because the church should be teaching about integrity. But when the church is lacking integrity, the world sees that as like, okay, we don't need to go there. We don't need to listen to them. They just like us. So when you are referred to as being just like the world, that means that's an insult to the church. That's an insult to the kingdom of God. So let me. It's something that we discussed today, had a meeting today. And one of the main questions that I asked everybody, this was something that I asked: if Christ returned today, would you be ready to join him? And a lot of the people had this puzzled look on their face. The reason why you wouldn't be ready to join him yet, for number one, your integrity is not with you. You don't have integrity. You don't have character. You don't have what it takes to join him right now. So that goes to say about his grace and his mercy. Just because he loves us so much, he displays his grace and mercy every day by delaying coming to return to collect his church, because his church would almost be empty because of the things that are going on in the spiritual, in the physical realm of things, because the spiritual realm is being ignored as if it's not important because of the way that the people are carrying themselves around here on this earth. So, see, I agree with you about that integrity, because you're absolutely right. It ain't got to be all about the pastors. It's got everything to do about church leadership, period, from the pastor on down, from the president, White House on down to the local government, city, county, state, all of it. It's about the integrity of the people and what they're displaying. So you're absolutely right, Ms. Kalani, and I think that what needs to happen is that these type of conversations need to be had more often. I think that that is why we made this a part of our ministry, the Break and Change ministry, to be able to bring this to a people, to be able to talk about these issues that they keep inside that maybe they're afraid to talk about because of they'll be ridiculed, put down, you know, because if you really ask a lot of people are church hurt, ain't got nothing to do with a relationship, ain't got nothing to do with the man or the woman. It's got everything to do with what happened at the church house when they went into God's house to look for help and assistance. They were rejected. So the integrity wasn't there. So this is a conversation that needs to be continually had. Reverend Kennedy, you came up with a very, very bold topic tonight. I tell you the truth.
I think, too, today, those lines between integrity with the church and the world, they become so blurred more than any time. You talked about the time that you grew up and you were younger. Integrity did exist, and it's one thing that I say all the time when I just look on TV, I look at the commentators, I look at just people that have a voice in the community. They're not the same. They're very, very different from when I was a child and the elders that were over us, because one thing that they were big on was integrity, and then if you didn't have it, they were going to tell you. You didn't have to be their child. You could be somebody else's child. But they were going to correct you in a loving way, and we respected it.
That's right.
I can remember, I say this all the time, like when I was younger and Two Live Crew came out. I'm an 80s baby now. And I remember these older black people, I don't know what group they represented, well, I think they was church people, were on TV, and they was taking those CDs and they was burning them on TV.
Yeah.
And they said that this trash will not be in our household, it won't be in our community. And they were coming out and publicly denouncing that. And I look at, you know, that group of leadership versus what we have today in our culture. And
right.
even today we see, you know, just with this whole, the controversy with Tasha Cobb doing the song with Nicki Minaj. Literally the world and the church coming together as one, not one to save another one, but we're the same. It's the perfect illustration of the confusion that goes on, especially with these young people who don't know Christ because they see
That's
Nicki Minaj,
right.
we see her videos, we hear what she talks about. I don't even have to mention what she talks about. Every, you know, thing that's the opposite of light, I'll say that in great detail. That's what she promotes. And then she aligns herself with a so-called woman of God, and it's not supposed to be a big deal, you know. So it's so confusing. It's so confusing
right.
of what's light, what's darkness. And I say we have no shame today, but we have no shame because we don't have that those group of elders and leadership who are willing to, who have the integrity, and then they, when you have it, you have to speak on it. And I say
Amen.
That to say we got those in leadership, but they're not willing to speak on it, so it just leads me to believe that they don't really have it. They're okay with it. And again, this conversation, these are things I see it, I think about it, I bring this up to people all the time. I ask questions, and most people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, this is what it is today, you know. It's just accepted. And I intercede for the church now more than I do the world. I intercede for the church because I understand that when she gets herself together, when she gets back to being light and get to be looking like what Christ designed her to look like, then the world will follow. Right now, we're just so clouded and so gray right now that the world is confused and they don't really know who we are anymore.
You bring up a very good point. You bring up a very good point. And in all honesty, integrity begins with us. It begins with what we're doing right now. It also begins in the church with us, because like Reverend Williams said earlier, we are the church. So someone gives me this African proverb, each one teaches one. Well, the problem that I find we having in the sanctuary today is that everyone is afraid to say anything because they're afraid that they are out of place. And it's time now for us to let the integrity in which we hold say, hey, no, this is not right. But we as a people walk in this fear because we don't want, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Reverend Williams, we don't want the pastor to be upset with us, or we don't want the deacons to be upset with us. But it starts with us. And if we are the church, then why can't we speak freely? Why can't we do more than just let our integrity shine, but to also hold other people accountable for theirs? What is it about us that has us so much in bondage where we won't open up our mouths when we see that things are wrong? And it's because we have a fear. We have a fear of how it's going to impact or what, you know, what it might do to us as a person, as a leader, but that's wrong. That's wrong. And
well,
so just like we have to stand for what's right, we have to stand. We are accountable. We really are. So my question is, and I want to. How do we start that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we not start a riot? Not start any type of animosity going in the church, but how do we as the church exemplify the integrity in which Christ has, in which he has given us a mandate to live by? How do we impart that in the sanctuary? Reverend Wade.
Can I?
And
hello?
Kalani, please feel free.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
Hello. Hey.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. This is Sister Nicole. Nice to meet everyone on this podcast.
Well,
good evening,
Sister Nicole.
I wanted to answer your question if I could.
So
can you
funny.
Hear me okay? Okay, great,
yes,
great. I was
yes.
hoping you could hear me
fine.
Okay. Good, good. To answer your question and something that happened in my life that I would love to share with you guys. When I was at a church, I'm not going to name the name of the church. I'll just say it like this. Where I was, the type of atmosphere when I entered into the church, it was the integrity was definitely not there, and I could just sense it and I felt it. And because the way I was brought up was just always, it was always just, you know, when you're dealing with older people, the way they teach you, the way they raise you, bring you up, it's a beautiful thing because what it do is it allow people to respect you at a different level. From if you come in and you carry yourself a certain way, people, they don't really acknowledge that. They don't acknowledge the fact that if you come in and you carry yourself a certain way, like you may act a certain way, people, they're looking at you like, what is wrong? What's wrong with you? And so what happens is when you carry yourself a certain way, so people can't really respect that. So what happened was when I, as the time that I was there, what I noticed is I didn't do a lot, but what I did do was I came in and I immediately just started. I did it quietly. I would just go to the people, and the way I would come to them and talk to them and minister to the women mostly, and I would just tell them certain things about them. You know, like certain females, they would carry themselves a certain way. They may dress inappropriately. But I would go to them and I would say, hey, this would look better on you, and that would look better on you. You know, I wouldn't say, well, that's too short, you know, or that, you know, it's the approach. I feel sometimes it's the approach when you come to a person, if you can come to them a certain way, they may receive you a little bit better than if you come to them and you make them feel like they're doing something wrong. I don't know what it is about our mindset where we feel like if we say something to people, I don't know what it is about people. What I'm trying to say is I don't know why do they feel like you're saying something ugly to them. When you're not saying anything ugly, you're actually trying to help them. But a lot of people don't perceive that. They get mad at you when you tell them stuff. They don't want to hear it. They're like, who do you think you are? And so I had to come in at a different approach. I had to come to them and try to get on their level for a minute. Not saying that I'm at a high level, but I had to see mm-hmm. them for who they were. I had to see them for where they come from, their background, all of that. I had to take all of that into consideration when I came to them. Because when I came to them, see, you can't come to people sometimes the way you would normally come to somebody. You just got to come at a different angle. So what I did was I would just go to them and I'd be like, look, darling, this is what you might need on, or can I get you this, or is it okay? Do you like that? You know, I would bring them jewelry. I would bring them clothes. I would bring them shoes, whatever I could possibly put my hands on to try to give it to them to help with their appearance. And let me tell you something. For some reason, when you fix a person up, the integrity that they may have had years ago, it'll come out of them. It's like it blossoms out of them. I noticed the change. They talk better. They act better. They were dressing better. And they just had a whole different demeanor on their whole everything. They were just different. But just the integrity to me is really a serious word. And that's funny that this is the topic tonight, because I was in the dental field for over 20-some years. And when you're dealing with dentists and doctors and, you know, dealing with the medical field, you're dealing with people with a mm-hmm. lot of integrity. And so where I am now, I'm at a car lot, and I'm dealing with people that come in with all kind of different type of personalities that I'm not used to. And so I'm like, oh, my God. So I was like, God, why did you put me here? There's got to be a reason, Lord. Why would you place me here? And so I have to treat every single person that come in there with respect, and I show them a lot of love, because when you do that to people, they will, whatever you put out, that's what you're going to get back to. That's how they'll treat you. But if you come across like you're trying to tell them something or trying to be more than them, then for some reason, people's whole demeanor changes. And so I learned how to talk to people at their level. So I don't know if I'm saying the right thing, but I'm just saying that the integrity is what you make of it. It's how you perceive someone and how you think of someone. To me, integrity is supposed to be, to me, integrity is you're supposed to carry yourself a certain way. You should think of yourself in a certain way. You should want to have the best in life. And that's, to me, that's integrity, carrying myself a certain way and doing the right thing, being honest, having great morals and standards and doing the right thing to people. Don't steal from people. Don't be dishonest. When you're having a conversation and someone asks you something, be honest about the thing. And so all of that kind of stuff to me is integrity. And so you're not going to always, as a saint of God, you're not going to always come across that. So the church I was at, I would see it. And, of course, in, like the sister was saying a little while ago, the people in leadership, oh, my God, I had to deal with that. And all I could do was stay on my knees praying, because when you're dealing with that and you see it, that level of integrity was not where it should have been. But all you can do for those type of people is just pretty much you got to stay praying, because you're dealing with. And then, you know, of course, I brought it to the attention, and it was like, okay, you know, hey, you're out of your, it was like you're out of your lane. In other words, you can't talk to this person because this person is at a certain level with God where you're not supposed to say anything to them. And so I was like, okay, you know, I didn't realize that I was stepping over, you know, doing something I shouldn't have been doing or saying something I shouldn't have been saying to someone in a higher authority. So I had to learn, you know, certain things you can say and certain things you can do in ministry. And so it was all new to me. So I hope I answered your question.
Well, let me, I want to chime in on that and answer that question too. And I'll say, and you said your name was Nicole?
Uh-huh.
Did I miss your name? Okay, yes. I was listening to what you were saying. And I would, me personally, I wouldn't consider somebody that's dressed inappropriately at church, I wouldn't attribute them having a lack of integrity. I would probably attribute the fact that they haven't been taught. And we see that a lot. You know, people are coming into church, especially with younger people, and sometimes they're not young, and they're new to Christ, and so they're coming just as they are. You know, I think that's more so just of a lack of understanding and knowledge. When I think about integrity, I'm always thinking about knowing what's right and not doing it. And especially when nobody's looking. This is something I have a 21-year-old, okay, and I was a young mother. And I came from a household, to be just quite honestly, where, and I know a lot of people that came where I'm from, not only was integrity not taught, we were taught how to steal, how to lie, how to get over, all these crazy things that when I came to know Christ, I was it and reading the book, and I really came to know him through the word and not through church, really. And I spent a lot of times in Proverbs when I first got born again, and I would read one or two scriptures, and then I would just sit back and say, wow. And I would just think about myself, and I would think about my character. I was literally slowly being brought to truth that was totally the opposite of what somebody had, you know, probably ignorantly taught me, modeled to me, and also taught me. And so my mind got renewed into this truth of what God says is truth. And so when I said earlier that when I find myself, even if it's a small little white lie, why I didn't call somebody back or something, I immediately just get checked. I check myself. Because I know it's wrong. And I'm like, nope, just say what the reason was and correct that. I feel a need to correct it really, really quick. Even though nobody knows, I need to correct that because I know better. Because now I know better because now I know truth. And you asked the earlier question about how can we address this in the church. We have been so conditioned now to be so politically correct. The first time anybody says something, whether that if you're a believer and you say something to somebody that's not saved or people in the church, the first thing they say is you're judging. And so you can't correct anybody. It's become politically incorrect to correct people. You just have to, you know, go under the radar and not say anything. But the crazy thing is the word says in Proverbs that a prudent man judges everything. And when it says that he judges, it means he discerns. Because we're supposed to be spiritual people, so we're supposed to be spiritually discerned. And so getting back to my 21-year-old, when we're talking about the church, we are the church. We're the church body. So I'm constantly correcting him because he's getting this understanding of what's right and what's wrong from the culture. But me, as, you know, his parent, I'm constantly saying no. I recently found $20 at a Sonic. It was in the parking lot by my car, picked it up, took it home. It was late. I ended up calling back up there, and I told the manager that I found this $20 in the parking lot. Could have been a customer. I don't know who it was. And he said, man, I'm so glad you called me. It was one of our stock hops, one of the people that come to your car. Mm-hmm. And he said, she lost it, and she's new. And he said, I was pretty sure that she had stolen it and that she lied about it. And she was adamant that she lost it. And he said, I'm so glad you called back up here because most people wouldn't have. And he said, it really, that $20 would have cost her job. And so I returned the $20. But I had my son over here this summer and my nephew. He's their teenagers. And they, you shouldn't have turned that $20 in. That was you could have finessed. That's the new word, finesse, which is the new word to make lack of integrity sound okay. I even hear adults using it. I finessed.
And I said, no, that wasn't. And then one of them even went to the floor and said, that was a blessing. I find $20 or some money, I'm going to consider that to be a blessing. And I said, you know what?
Wow.
Had I found the money, turned it in, and a week later he told me that they counted the drawers and it wasn't their money and nobody in the place came and get it, and he called me back to get it, then I would have considered it a blessing. I said, but that wasn't the case, and I didn't know that was the case. If you're somewhere and somebody loses money, the thing to do if you have integrity, and I literally told them, is to turn it in, because believe me, it's somebody. Somebody dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, he goes back to college, which is 6 hours away, and this is a new school for him. He's in a whole totally different environment, and he worked this summer, so he had a little money, and he goes up the first week, and they go out on the first little event 3 days in, and he texts me. He loses $170. He's out with his teammates. He's a ball player, so it's a small group. It's just them. The $170 fell out of his pocket. And he's all upset. Mm. And he said, he's so upset. He said, somebody got me. I said, no, James. I said, nobody got you. You lost your money. They were in the little jumpy place, fun place where you jump around. The money fell out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, your money fell out and somebody picked it up. He said, yeah, but, you know, these my teammates, they know it had to be somebody's in here. I said, so let me bring this back to you. I said, nobody got you. You lost your money, and you depended on the integrity of others for somebody to do the right thing to get it back to you. I said, but they kept it. And I said, that didn't feel like a blessing either, did it? Because you lost it. Now, here was a teaching moment for me with him to go back to this earlier conversation just a few months ago with the $20. It didn't feel like a blessing. And I told him, I said, you know what, if you always, and I really was like, Lord, he needed that example, literally, because summer he really didn't grasp onto what I was trying to teach him to say, James, always have integrity. No matter who is looking, do the right thing and you will be blessed. But that was a real live teaching moment for him. And I know it didn't feel good to lose that $170, and it didn't feel good to know that here we are in the room with just 12 people. Somebody in here got it, and nobody returned it, or nobody did the right thing. So I say that to say that in these church, not even, I'm going to get past the church, because we've already established that we are the church. We see church folks on your job, in your neighborhood. If we can just get to the point, and I think we're doing good just by having the dialogue, but if we can just get to the point with being comfortable with when we're in circles and we see people operating with a lack of integrity, whether it be we're going to get in the huddle and talk about the boss, or we're going to get in the huddle and talk about another coworker, or, speak up. We can do it in truth and in love. I find myself being like, I ain't trying to be a goody two-shoe or Mary Poppins, but I'm not going to sit and be silent when I feel like people are operating outside of integrity. I'm going to say something, even if it's the pastor. And I think I have a reputation from doing that. You're coming out the pulpit and you done said something that I know ain't the word. I will be the one waiting for you when church over. I'm going to give you a hug. And then I'm going to say, hold on now. Let me go back to this scripture right here, because you said this and I need to know. I really ask these questions. I'm like, I need to know what you meant by when you said this or that. And I've had these conversations with many of pastors, because I'm always trying to take inventory of somebody's integrity so I know whether to align myself with them, whether to follow them, whether to participate. Because if I don't say anything, or when people see me, just you did say earlier about birds of a feather, and I'm going to flip it and say,
mm-hmm.
When we align ourselves with this, we co-sign on it. And not only that, I just feel like God's going to hold us accountable, and that's just what he wanted us to do. We can do it in a loving way, and sometimes just by speaking up and just even saying without rebuking that person, I don't feel comfortable participating in that. I do it all the time as a realtor. I'm going to tell you now, people come and ask me to do things, customers, and I say in a nice loving way, I would love to help you, I would love to service you, but I don't run my business like that, and you may have to find somebody else. So, And sometimes they keep going, and then sometimes they come back and ask me what I mean. And then I have to clarify to say I've decided to operate my business in this way, to be fair to all people, to never lie, to never steal. And when I have to tell people this, these are my principles and my integrity, how I'm going to operate, you can get with it or, you know, get lost, basically. Then I think those are teachable moments. And I wouldn't say get lost. I always make sure that I do it serving the truth with love. But if we could start doing that a little bit more, you know, and being real intentional about that, then I think the church can kind of gain back some of that integrity that we're losing. But even if our silence, when we sit and we, a lot of times we're going to participate in whatever it is. And even if we're not participating in our lack of speaking up, we just kind of validate the world's mentality. And then so this cycle just continues to go on and on. So to answer that question, we just need to be a little bit more bold and intentional about our walk and being a little bit more light to others. I know that was a long answer and I said a lot, but.
No. I am enjoying the dialogue.
That.
No. Do not apologize. I am enjoying the dialogue because what it is doing for me is it's helping me to just kind of put a little bit more in addition to what you all have just said tonight, but that integrity is pretty simple. It's one of those things that, you know, it pleases God, right? So it means that you can count on me. I'll keep my word. I'll be true. And that is it. It means that I am not for sale at any price. And those are the words that I want us to take away with us tonight. That it is simple. It simply means that you can count on me, that I will keep my word, and that I'll be true. And I'm not for sale at any price. And that's, it's all encompassing based on what Kalani has said, what Nicole has said, what Reverend Williams has said. This is a great discussion. This is just phenomenal. It's far more than what I could have ever imagined. And I know that God is pleased with it because we have touched on every area. And I can't remember not. And integrity that also on this movie where, like I said, please forgive me because I can't remember the name of the movie. I can't remember the people in the movie. I can't remember anything, but I remember this. This person had to swallow a serum, and they were told if you swallow this serum, it's going to help you to stop telling lies. And this person went ahead and swallowed this little serum. And each time somebody, would, you know, family members or friends or what have you, would go and say, well, you know, do I look fat in this dress? I'm going to use that as an example. And she would say, And before she could say no, her eye would twitch and the truth would come out. Yes, you look fat in that dress. And then she would start to apologize because she would say, well, I didn't mean to say that. And then she would turn around and say the serum would kick in. Yeah, I meant to say that. I just didn't mean it so blunt. So, yes, integrity is very simple. I will not be sold at any price. I will be truthful. I will be honest. And if we put those traits, those words into our daily living, not only will it help us remember about integrity, but it will also help us to impart in others about the integrity. Reverend Williams, do you have anything that you would like to say in addition to, because I'm just excited.
You know, I sit back and I listen. I listen across the board to all the podcasts that go out, and which I'm supposed to do. And I've found myself on occasions having to make private phone calls to say, okay, well, we can't do the podcast like that. That's not what we need to talk about. That's not what needs to happen. And it's not very well always accepted, very, you know, in a comfortable way. And I can be talking just as calm. And the integrity of myself has to come up because, for number one, I'm responsible for this ministry. So everything that goes on is on me. So the integrity has to be in the people that come across this podcast, period, anyway. You said something earlier about we are spiritual discerners. The scripture tells you to try the spirit by the spirit. That's the way you're supposed to live your life anyway. The thing about it is that we talk about the church. Everybody that goes into God's house is not the church. Some of them are just pew warmers. Some of them are just some of them are actually agents of the devil that come into God's house, because the devil goes everywhere too. So here's something that we have to understand, is that when you talk about speaking boldly, I speak boldly, but I speak out of love. I got love for everybody. If it's wrong, I'm going to let you know it's wrong. If we can do something with it, we can. If we can't, I'm going to tell you that. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 4, listen to this. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. I'm going to stop right there, because one thing that we find out is that all across this country, there are people demeaning, degrading, downsizing, just being very, very, very evil towards the man that represents and sits in the seat of the President of the United States. Instead of praying for this man, we tearing this man down. So how can we expect good things to come our way? Now, these are scriptures now that it says for kings
That's
and all right. that are in authority that we should be praying, right? Okay, it also says that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So your integrity is spoken highly in the scriptures. Titus 2, 7 and 8 says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So it goes back to what Ms. Kalani said earlier about the integrity of the leadership, whether it be in the church, whether it be in jobs, government, whatever it is, okay? And, you know, here's a quote for you, too. It said, we must be the same person in private and in public. Only the Christian worldview gives us the basis for this in kind of integrity. But you know what? One of the main things about all of it is that you got to know who you're dealing with. You got to know who you're talking to. Because scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like
a child.
Mm-hmm. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put all those childish things away. So when we come into the spiritual knowledge of who God is, and when we lean to his understanding and not our own, our integrity is enhanced anyway. Our character is stepped up anyway. Who we are as godly people is stepped up anyway. Because, see, there's the church and there's godly people, okay? Listen, we're the church, and the church people are supposed to be godly people. So when you're talking about getting out here, we have to teach, we have to educate, but most importantly, we have to be that perfect example that they see. They have to see it, as well as hear it coming out of our mouth. Whatever's in a man's heart, so he speaketh. Whatever's in his heart, it comes out of his mouth. So if we got leadership that's constantly on one day talking this thing, but all the other days talking something totally different, their integrity should be questioned. Ms. Kalani says that she goes to leadership and questions these things. If we have enough people that stands up and not afraid to do that and be like that, maybe we will see changes start to take place. But, oh, my God, he is making a change right now. There's a shift in the atmosphere. You can't see it in the physical realm right now, but it's definitely taking place in the spiritual realm. You have to be a spiritual discerner and a child of God to see the spiritual realm being shifted right now. And let me tell you something. God is about to raise up his people. I ain't talking about just everybody he created, because everybody he created is not his. It's not accepting him. It's not accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not accepting Jesus as the Son of God. He created all things, but there are going to be some, though, that won't make it in simply because they don't accept the things that they need to accept to understand what it means to get in to the kingdom of God. So, see, when we talk about all of these things and we put them all together, it comes back to the same person. It comes back to God, our Creator. It comes back to Jesus, our Savior. It comes back to the Holy Spirit moving and shifting of people, because the Holy Spirit is our intercessor to heaven right now. It comes and tells us what we need to know. It's up to us whether we choose to listen. It's up to us. That's why God gave us choice, free choice and free will. See, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on you. It's up to you whether or not you choose to stay under the will of God. Because guess what? Some of us have walked away from the will of God. You do have that choice. And the thing about it is today, ladies, is that I'm going to say this and I'm going to let y'all have your show. Here's one of the problems that I have today. I'm going to say this. There are not enough men getting back into their proper places. There are not enough men standing back in authority, the authority that God gave us in the beginning of time. God said, "He, I give you dominion on everything on this earth." So there's nothing on this earth that man should be ashamed of, that man should be fearful of. He should stand for his family, for his community, for his church, and everything that is right in the eyes of God. So until man stands up, and I'm not talking to every man, I'm talking to the men that are lacking. And see, they're lacking for a couple of reasons. They're lacking because they don't know any better, or they're lacking because they've been church hurt and don't want to go back. There are more women in church than men, and we got to change that. See, one thing about it, I love the women that they stand up, they're prayer warriors, they intercede on behalf with prayer. But you know what? There's God's order that everybody seems to just want to ignore. God, in the beginning, created man. He said, let us make man in our likeness after our own image. And he created man, put man to sleep, and made a beautiful woman out of the rib of man. And he said, we made them together. They are equal, but not the same. So one thing about it is that women can do everything in their power to make this right, but it will not be right until man stands up and get back into his proper place. Now, that's God's order. Ain't got nothing to do with me. That's what God, and that's how God created this. And until things get back in order, the integrity of a man will always be questioned because of where he's lacking, where he's lacking. And we have to help him to get back into his proper place. We have to help him. Mm. We can't keep stepping on his neck. We can't keep putting him down. We can't keep dogging him out. We can't keep turning our backs on him. We have to come together as a people, as God's people. Ain't got nothing to do with race. Ain't got nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with God's people coming together and helping each other and helping those that are lost and in dark areas. We got to be willing to hit the streets. We got to be willing to put the rubber to the road. We got to be willing to go into the trap house. We got to be willing to go into the dark neighborhoods. We got to be willing to go to the young people, to the gangbangers, to the killers, the murderers, because Jesus said he didn't come here to be served. He came here to serve. So if Jesus came here to serve a people, we got every right. We got every dominion. We got every power. We got every authority. We got every boldness to get out here and serve his people, to bring them in, because he said he don't want to see not one of us suffer. And our children are suffering today. Our people are suffering today. It's because he said my people will perish for the lack of knowledge. It's because they reject the knowledge.
Amen.
And if you just if you reject the knowledge, I will cause your children to suffer. That's why our children are suffering today, and we still walking around in a circle like the children of Israel until we are able to take leadership within ourselves and stop looking to somebody else to be our leader instead of God Almighty and Jesus Christ the Savior and the Holy Spirit as our leader, as our guide. We will continue to be lost, to continue to be in darkness, and we will continue to fail until we get it right. And God is speaking to us, and we act like we don't hear. There are storms coming from the left, from the right, from the north, the south, the east, the west.
Every
there are
direction.
Fires burning in the west. There are waters rising over in Antarctica. There's ice melting over there. The sea level is rising. People are dying. There's famine. There's hunger. There are things that are written in the scripture. There are wars. There's rumors of wars. And Christ is still showing his grace and mercy by delaying his return until his people get themselves in order. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall turn from their wicked ways and look, seek and seek his face, not man's face, but God's face, only then will he hear from heaven. It says only then will he hear from heaven, and then he will heal the land. Until then, we will continue to suffer. We will continue to fall short. We will continue to have all kind of hell breaking loose all around us until we get in all of it. If you don't believe it, you better turn on the news. You better go outside. You better go in the community. You better go to the schools. You better go to the government, and you see it all failing. It's failing, and it's failing rapidly because you pretend like you are God Almighty, and you're not. Christ said that he was born Emmanuel, God with us, and the government will be on his shoulders. You decided that you want to be in charge and you want to carry everything and that you want to be in charge. And this is God. He created all things and he can take it away just like he gave it to you. So I suggest that everybody listening, that everybody continue to pray. It's a pray without ceasing. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. We got to continue praying. We got to continue to come together. We got to continue to have open dialogue. We got to continue to stand bold, speak bold, and have God on our side. Because as long as you got God, you got all of heaven backing you up. You better step out there and do God's work and stop worrying about what somebody going to say or what somebody going to do. Because if God be for you, can't nobody be against you. You know what
nobody
I say? If they're
against
you, it still don't matter if they still against you because God is with me. I'm finna go.
My God Almighty. Jesus. On that note, let's just go ahead on. And does anybody have anything else that they need to say tonight? Amen.
Well, I'll say one more thing before I get off.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And I'm gonna just amen that, and I do believe, you know, God is raising up His people, and I'm glad that Reverend just made a distinction between the church and His people. I don't think that's the way he intended it to be, but there's a separation coming, and this dialogue and the fact that I'm sitting here tonight on this phone. I'm having to, and I see it all around me, step out of my normal, usual routine and attend to the things that are important, and that's God's work. And I do 100% believe God is raising up a remnant. He's raising up those that's going to, when it comes to everything that's being spoken, that's being done in this country, in this city, that they're going to go to the Word first and say, "Thus said the Lord." And if it ain't thus said the Lord, they're not going to be for it. And that's been on me so heavy for so long, and I've not kept it to myself, but just said, oh, well, it's the church. Well, you know what? No, God is laying that on everybody's heart, people that know him. It is that we are the church, so we got to stop putting that on the church, that responsibility. We are the church. And I second that because I know that God is doing a work in this city. He's doing a work in this country, and that's going to come out of people who really know God, who are going to step up and who are going to be bold and who are going to speak truth no matter who they offend or what entity they offend. So that's all I needed to say.
Amen. Miss Nicole?
I'm here.
I just wanted to give you an opportunity to have last few words before I pray us out.
Oh, I didn't have anything to say, but thank you. I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, listen, it has been a beautiful, glorious, blessed, fulfilled, informational, informative, inspiring, encouraging word. And it is my prayer that all of you who are listening tonight to Breaking Chains, P31 Night, Ladies Night, have received something from this word, this discussion. People have poured out their hearts and their souls into God's people. And that's what tonight is all about, being able to spread the word, being able to live by the word, and being able to discuss the word, to be able to help somebody who may not know Christ. But if you want to get to know a Savior tonight, you don't have to come to this church, but we encourage you to go and join a church where you can learn more about God's word, to learn how to be directed
God's way, to learn how to instill integrity God's way. God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
You're listening to Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains
with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Can you imagine just standing before the king? Oh, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine, yeah, what my face is before me. I can only imagine. I could only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What I could hold.